This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. It's not often that a low-profile state office such as the Judicial Inquiry Commission garners attention, but an advisory opinion related to that office makes a strong statement on ethics for judges in Alabama. It follows accusations some courts are violating defendants' rights, and in one case, the phrase debtor's prison has come up. We talk about the situation with the Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald. He joins us now, as he does most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, let's back up. Tell us what type of cases sparked this opinion.
The attention came from Harpersville and Childersburg and other places where people were stopped for routine traffic violations or for misdemeanor offenses. And if they weren't allowed to pay, if they weren't able or said they weren't able to pay their fine, they were sent to private probation companies that basically started billing them in large numbers and ballooning payments. And a few $100 fines would turn into thousands of dollars of fines. And in some cases, these people were thrown into jail for months at a time because they were unable to pay their bills, their fees and their fines to these private probation companies. And that sparked a lot of national attention and some serious consideration of how it's been done. Harpersville Court was actually shut down. The judge, Hub Harrington, the circuit judge who was looking at that case, called it a debtor's prison, called it extortion, and shut it down. And it's gotten a lot of attention since.
So you've had that attention to the issue. You had this court case that shut down a particular court. What does the opinion from the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission say?
Well, it says the onus is on the judge. If the judge allows this to go on, the buck stops with him or her. A private probation company does not run the court. A private probation company cannot issue warrants, which it was signing warrants in the first place. That ultimately, if a judge cannot oversee a court in a way that guarantees the constitutional rights of the defendants, then it can't be a court, and that person can't be a judge.
So you have this opinion. It puts the onus on the judge. In practice, what does that actually mean?
It really is a warning shot to all courts around the state. I mean, right now there's about 100 courts that use private probation companies in the state. And what it says is, you know, this is not going to be tolerated in the future. In reality, the Judicial Inquiry Commission, the power of the Judicial Inquiry Commission is in judges. I mean, its so-called death penalty would be to remove a judge from the bench, but that's a pretty powerful weapon when you're talking to the judges.
Yeah, and well, that issue of enforcement kind of pops up here. You have this opinion, but who will actually see that judges follow this rule?
Right, well, those are the people. If a judge cannot do it, they can be removed. This is despite what anything the legislature might do. This is an ethical question involving judges. And so in that sense, in the legal sense, in terms of punitive abilities, in terms of jail, that sort of thing, this means nothing. But in terms of being able to remove people from the bench, it's huge. And setting the tone for our justice down the road is a pretty big thing.
Do you see the commission ever taking action like that?
Yes, I do. And there's some indication that, you know, maybe a deal was struck in this one to remove a judge here.
Well, in your view, getting to this issue of these private probation companies, do they have a role in the judicial system, in your opinion? Or
Well, they really can. There was a report released this last month by Human Rights Watch, which basically said the problem comes in. It's not inherently the private probation companies that do it. It's when government officials abdicate their responsibility and don't maintain the integrity of the court. And that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Well, also this morning, there have been many famous speeches given in legislative chambers, from JFK's decision to go to the moon to FDR's A Day That Will Live in Infamy. But in today's world of electronic and social media, it's pretty clear plenty of dumb stuff is said in legislatures as well, the Alabama legislature among them. In fact, John here suggests it's a case of pandemonium right now. And I guess this starts with remarks made by a Montgomery Democrat, Alvin Holmes.
Yeah, it's hard not to to look at Representative Holmes. He made headlines everywhere by stating last week that 99% of the members of the white members of the House would vote for abortion if they had a child who had been impregnated by a black man, which was Some argue that he just got the percentages wrong, I guess, but it was not what we would call persuasive.
Well, you also point to Republican Representative Becky Nordgren of Gadsden. What did she have to say?
Well, I mean, it's the very idea of sales tax holiday for guns and ammo that, you know, at a time when we're both broke and violent. So, you know, it is clearly a move that speaks to the base but does not address the great pressing problems of our day.
Given that, you know, when is a promise, when is a statement, when is it pandering? You know, after all, plenty of journalists love to hear about First Amendment rights. You know, we all love to hear things we want to hear.
Well, that's true. But I think sometimes for a leader to be a leader, you have to say things and do things that people don't want to hear. And that's the bottom line.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News. You can also catch it on AL.com anytime. John, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.